I'm Bruce Worsen, pastor of His Place Community Church. The following message came from a Sunday morning right here at His Place. Is your daily devotion vibrant or stale? Because we all go through those seasons. Maybe you're in one right now. If it's on the stale side, then here's a tip. You might just be neglecting to share with the Father an appreciation and a sense of obligation for your many, many blessings and gifts that He has given you. Both appreciation and obligation. And on the flip side, your trust and your hope in His ongoing, all-loving care for what He hasn't given you. So you have the two sides of it: appreciation, obligation, hope, and trust. And that's something that we can make a part of every day as we talk to Dad. You see, the Lord will give gifts to see what we'll do with them. Does it all the time. Gives you a gift and goes, what are you going to do with that? Every blessing comes with instructions. And on the flip side of that, He will withhold them at times for the very same reason. It's all for our eternal best. I'm going to give you this. What do you do with it? Oh, I'm going to hold this back. What are you going to do about that? Because it's all a test. And it's a training. You know, what's that old saying? That experience is the meanest teacher. She gives the test before she teaches the lesson. It's a little like that. Appreciation, obligation, and trust. Well, okay, we're going to pick up where we left off. We're looking at Jesus in a whole new way. That was the goal last week. It is today. And we're looking at Him through this lens of the gifts of the healed lepers, which were a command of Moses, and turns out a testimony of Jesus. And we've been discovering Jesus is a lot of things. A lot of symbols in the Bible that we just kind of ignore, and that's come to an end. Because just as Jesus is the Lamb, we're all familiar with the Lamb, we like the Lamb, well, we've been looking at the fact He's also the bird. It's also the bird that gives His life so the blood can cover the other bird that flies away, which is us. And then we saw last week, He's not just the bird, He's the worm. Very specific scarlet worm that doesn't look anything like a worm. Do you know it wasn't until 1714, that's 205 years ago, right? It wasn't until 1714 that they figured out that that's a worm. That everyone thought it was a berry. They just discovered it. So it's a weird, weird worm, and in the Word of God, in the Hebrew, it's called a tola, a scarlet worm. And it was dried and crushed to make this blood-red dye. It is a stain that represents our sin in Scripture. Isaiah talks about it. It's the tola shenai, the dye of the scarlet worm. And you can still buy tola. It's called kermes now. You can still buy it in a vacuum-packed bag. Istanbul, Turkey. I tried to get some. I couldn't find it online. I want to have a bag of tola. That sounds like a word, a bag of tola. You've had a bagel. Well, you had nothing till a bag of tola. The dye was used in the tabernacle, it was used in the temple, it was used for religious clothing, it was used for Roman uniforms. They found that the tola dye, they call it kermes now, but the tola dye is even in the Dead Sea Scrolls. And it had been long used in Egypt when Moses was there. It had been used for hundreds of years before. It's the oldest animal-based dye that's known to man. They just didn't know it was animal-based until 205 years ago. In fact, Hebrew is the only language that calls it a worm. Everyone else calls it a berry. It's kokos. So the rest of the world called it forever. And Job, we looked at that last week. Surprisingly, Job says that the Son of Man is a scarlet worm. It's tola, very specific. He's a worm. He's the tola worm. There's other words for worm in the Bible, but Son of Man's tola. And then we're told in the same passage, man, us, is a maggot. It's like, wait, what? We're the maggots? The children of the tola. Oh, okay, that's a little better. Jesus is referred to as the Son of Man 87 times in the New Testament, in the Gospels. It's His number one symbolic reference, His favorite one to use on Himself. constantly referring to himself as a son of man. But son of man, thanks to Job, not only carries this image of the Tola, the son of man, is Tola. So every time he says son of man, who is Tola, it not only carries the image of the worm, but it bears the burden of the cross that is to come. Because we saw that last week, the whole Psalm 22. I'll mention it again in a bit, but I want to, here's a mind blower. Now we can start to see what Jesus is talking about when he says things like referring to his coming death. Jesus said, when you have lifted up, and it says in that passage, he's talking about his death. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, who is Tola, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be. Really? How? Because it is on the cross just before his death that Jesus cries out the title of Psalm 22, the first line. My God, why have you forsaken me? Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. And we know they didn't know their Bible because they said, look, he's calling for Elijah. He who has ears to hear. It's Psalm 22 that he's crying out so that when they lift up the Son of Man who is Tola, they can know. Because right before he dies, he says, look at Psalm 22. And Psalm 22 paints this unnervingly accurate picture of the suffering of the cross and everything that's going on around it. And in verse 6, God's firstborn son cries out, I am Tola and no man. Because Tola gives birth to baby Tola. Job says, man's the Ramah, the maggots, the baby Tola. Because man, us, is reborn through the death of our Tola, the symbol of the Tola, who is the Son of Man and the Son of God. Son of mankind, Son of God, so happy Father's Day, heaven and earth. And now, you got to think, if the Lord himself says, I am Tola, and the Lord created the Tola, we should probably have a field trip, right? I think there's several places God wants to send us out into the world. It's like, look, the whole world's declaring it. If I say I'm Tola and I created Tola, go check out the Tola, which we did in a quick recap here. It's just so incredible. Because like Christ, the Tola mama attaches to a tree when she's ready to give birth. And she loses the use of her legs, thus becoming a worm. And she forms this upside-down cup. She pulls together, forming this cup, and literally pours out her life as food to a multitude of children in her bosom. And she dies. And over 3 days, she turns powdery white with the appearance of frost or snow or ash and falls to the ground like a little hailstone, leaving a permanent blood-red stain on the tree. And so Isaiah uses the Tola as the symbol of our scarlet red Tola Shanais sin that will be made white as wool and snow when our holy Tola comes. But here's where the bottom drops out. You know what else fell like hail in the Bible and looked like frost or ash and was the size of Tola and the shape of Tola? Even the colors of Tola described, and people say, oh, it's a contradiction. One place it says it's white and one place it says it's brownish yellow. Well, what color is Tola? When it falls to the ground, it's white till you touch it and then the dust falls off and it's, you know what it is? Manna. Manna is the description of Tola. It says in Psalm 78, he established a testimony in Jacob. We saw last week, yeah, thou Tola, Jacob, Jacob the scarlet worm. But they sinned even more in the wilderness by asking for the food of their fancy because they did not believe in God, appreciation, obligation, and did not trust and hope in his salvation. Yet he had commanded the clouds above and opened the doors of heaven, had rained down manna on them to eat. We're told he gave his hail as morsels of food in another passage. And given them of the bread of heaven, men ate angels' food. We're told it tasted like cakes of honey. So there you got the angels' food cake right there, first mention. You really do. That's what's funniest about it. Do you know what the word manna actually translates to, what it means? Anybody? Yeah, you got it. What is it? It's one of the most obvious riddles of the Bible. Every time it's the word manna, they're saying, and then the what is it came, and they gathered up the what is it? What is it? Now, in the Aramaic, it's who is it? What is it? Who is it? For some reason, we act like we can't know when Scripture absolutely answers the question. I mean, really, in one verse. I'll give you two, but here's one. But some of them, the rebellious who didn't follow the commands, left part of it, the manna, until morning in disobedience. And it, the manna, bred Tola. It gave birth to it, brought forth baby Tola. Well, if it said they left it till morning and it bred kittens, you would have to assume that manna was cats. But if it says it gives birth to baby Tola, then we should probably assume it's Mama Tola. Manna bred Tola, worms, and stank. Oh, it stank. So, which means it contained. So the manna contained the Ramah, the maggots, but it was one day early. As Mama's turning white, get ready to drop off the tree, we're told God brought an east wind and it would blow it in. He would just harvest each night and drop it like hail. All that was ready to go. There's another passage. It's when they do follow the instructions of cooking it and keeping up what they cook for the Sabbath. Well, that would have killed it. And it says, then it did not stink, nor were there any Ramah in it. And thanks to those two passages, we know that what it produced was Tola Ramah, babies of the Tola. And not just any old Ramah, because we're the Ramah, and he's the Tola. Only Tola breeds Tola. There's no way for Tola to get in the manna. Manna bred Tola. Tola matches the size, the color, and shape. And manna means, what is it? Any guesses? Manna is Tola. It just tells us that it gives birth to baby Tola. Jesus came to reveal and fulfill the Old Testament, so let's just let him. Let's just let him do that. Remember, Son of Man means Tola. Son of Man, who is Tola? This is this big symbol. After feeding the 5,000 with the bread that came from who knows where, Jesus said, do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man, who is Tola, will give you. It is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, like the Tola does. Sir, they said, from now on, give us this bread. Knowing they're talking about manna, which is daily bread. That was just another term for manna, daily bread. Then Jesus declared, I am the bread of life. And I am Tola. So I am manna. I am Tola. Manna is Tola. I am manna Tola. So Tola, full of those things, which will come out the next day, means it was literally living food, living bread that came down from heaven. I wish I could just show you all the descriptions of the Old Testament. They are all so accurate. Happy Father's Day, heaven and earth. He goes on, your forefathers ate the manna in the desert. Oh, I got to tell you this. Okay, I wrote a note in the margin here for myself, but okay. The Tola, full of the babies, it may sound gross, and it is, but it would have provided the protein, the fat, and the carbs all in one package that they needed. And when they crushed the little white brown balls, it would have turned blood red as they crushed it. And you know how manna is pronounced in the Hebrew? This is just fun. It's got no spiritual significance unless God loves puns, and I think he does. But you know how you pronounce manna in Hebrew? Man. Man. Your forefathers ate the man in the desert, and now Jesus is the man. Yet they died. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. I am Tola. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. This bread is my flesh, because I am Tola, and Tola is manna, which I will give for the life of the world, like the Tola mama on the tree. Take a field trip. Then the Jews began to argue, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Because this man is the Son of Man, who is the Tola that was the manna. Jesus said, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, that's what the babies do when they're under mama's care on the tree. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, who is Tola, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. The Spirit gives life. And now he wants to make sure you know he's not being literal about the bugs. The flesh, the temporary manna Tola that they ate and died, counts for nothing. So here's what we must eat and drink. Here's what it represents. The words I have spoken to you are spirit, and they are life. Eat that. Even the letters are red, right? The red letters of Jesus. The word of God is the bread of life. The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us, just as the manna Tola made its dwelling among them in the wilderness. And we're just told straight out, he has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. I don't know if it's Tola, but boy, it's up there on my list of guesses. We get a couple other names, though. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God, the bread of God, the bread of life, which was manna, which is Tola, which is the Son of Man. On his robe and on his thigh, he has this name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so we just have to know that we are not feeding on Jesus as Lord until we're consuming his word, because that's his flesh, and that's how he covers us, and that's how we grow. We need to treat him like our manna, our daily bread, which God gave as a blessing and a humbling and a test. Right here, Exodus 16, the Lord said to Moses, look, I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions. Gather, share, prepare, consume, digest, repeat. Gather, share, prepare, consume, digest, repeat. But one way you look at this, you go, well, how is unlimited, easily gathered, free food a test? Because it came with instructions. We hate those. We hate directions and instructions. These are outright commands for gathering and storing and consuming and sharing. This is not a test of endurance or a test of sacrifice. It's a test of trust and faith and obedience in the face of surplus. Wow, it's something we need to hear. Appreciation, obligation, trust. It was a test to see if they'd take it for granted or continue to faithfully follow God's specific instructions for their daily bread and share what they gathered and trust that it'd be there the following day. Appreciation, obligation, trust. And in the Lord's Prayer guide, we're told to pray, give us today our daily bread, which means you pray it every day. Today, the daily bread, which is the manna, which is the Tola, which is the Son of Man, who is the Word. But it's hard for us to relate to that line, to give us this day our daily bread, because we're so blessed. We have such a surplus of bread. Half of us are gluten intolerant. It's too much bread. Too many Bibles, too. You just take them for granted. They're every, you open a drawer in a hotel and there's a Bible. And so we take it for granted. We're so blessed today, we pray to resist the bread. God, just help me stay away from the bread. Praying for daily bread would be, for us, be like asking God to give us less, which is not a bad idea. Because there is a Manitoula prayer in Proverbs, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. We're talking about God's riches here. Give me a heart that is led daily by you, not settled by me. Otherwise, I may have too much, you know, grow wise in my own eyes. I don't need any more. And disown you. And say, who is the Lord? Oh, your daily bread. Or I may become, you know, spiritually poor, ignorant, in the store of treasure of your word in my heart. And steal. You know, I'll take this verse, and I'll hang them on the wall. And, you know, there we go. Live my life by those two. But we're trading his intentions for our inventions, our imaginations. We're trading his objectives for our agenda. It says, and so dishonor the name of my God. So give me neither poverty nor riches. Could you pray this prayer? Neither poverty nor riches. I want to build on last week. Remember last week, do you want to be set free? I'm going to build on that right now. Do you want to be set free from any riches, success, or fortune that distracts your devotion? Do you want to be set free? I mean, really in your heart, if you're honest with yourself. I want to be set free from the poverty side of that prayer, but not the riches one. Right before the promised land, Moses warned, when you have eaten and are full, then you shall bless, praise the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God, even for a single, busy, hectic, chaotic, overextended day. Because remember last week we saw the Tola, he says, will return as a curse on your vine. And he's our vine. So I think we best be praying in this age and culture and place of surplus, we best be praying, give us today our daily gratitude and compassion. Appreciation, obligation. Otherwise, we'll just get our maggot stink all over everything. And it's really funny. You see that God said, oh, you know, okay, we're going to create this in a way that if you disobey and you leave it till the next day, like, oh, I don't need to read my Bible today. I got enough yesterday. No, it's going to crawl with maggots. It's going to stink. It's like, wasn't it enough to just crawl with maggots? God's like, apparently, you know what? I know man, and maggots won't do it. He'll still eat it. We better make it really stink, too. And you know what maggot stinks like? Neglect, decay, and death. So that means that day-old manna had a certain je ne sais quoi to it. You know what? That's French. You know, anybody know what je ne sais quoi means? That's right. It means I do not know what. Literally, I do not know what, or what is it? It's manna. It's the same thing manna means. It's just the French. Also known as the living bread from heaven, a.k.a. Tola, or the Son of Man, or the Son of God. The Word. The bread of life. Jesus' body, broken for us. The Tola Mama's body was pierced and broken for her newborns. See that little woolly patch there, that little puff of snowy wool? That's where she's attached to the tree. And when those babies are ready to come forth, a little hole breaks open in the side of that thing as a doorway for her scarlet children to go forth. And Jesus' side was opened when he laid down his life, producing water and blood to give birth to the church by cleansing the children of his body. And the day before Moses died, he laid down the law and said, the Lord your God led you all the way these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you by allowing you to hunger, we'll see, and test you. This is what Dad does. To test you by blessing you, by feeding you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. So he humbled you, allowed you to hunger. There's that prayer, don't give me too much, cause me to hunger for and thirst for righteousness, and fed you with manna, the daily bread, which you did not know what it was, where it was from, or when it might stop. Somebody asked me after first service, if they used it for dying, how did they not know what it was? When they say, well, that's the stuff we use for dying, I realize, oh, that's such a good point. No, they knew what it was used for. They just didn't know until 205 years ago what it was. Everybody in the world called it a berry, and they thought beetles planted their eggs in it. They didn't follow one of those and see that they lose their legs and attach to a tree and turn into a thing that looks like a berry. They thought beetles were just laying eggs in these berries. No, the Bible's the only thing in history that calls it a scarlet worm. Apparently, God through Moses in the Hebrew is the only accurate description of what it was till 205 years ago. And they didn't know when it might stop either. Goes on, he did this that he might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone. A satiated stomach and a satisfied life is not the goal. It's a perk, and not everyone gets it. But man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord. You should know in your heart that as a man chastens his son, so the Lord your God chastens you. So happy Father's Day, everyone. Blessings are a test, and they come with instructions. Our goal as obedient children is to learn to live each day by every word, which requires collecting and consuming on his terms and his timing. So we should read his word the same way they collected the manna. We should see it as collecting our holy manitola, which is one of my favorite titles now for Jesus, the holy manitola. Just rolls off the tongue. Give us this day our daily bread of life, our holy manitola, our Savior. And Father, give me only what you know I need, and not the stinking thing I only think I want. Remember, day-old faith stinks. Day-old hope stank. And day-old love stunk. Stink, stink, stunk. There's no artificial preservative for faith, hope, and love. All three need to be made to order fresh daily, or they will have that certain je ne sais quoi. Let's pray. Father God, whoa, we love you. We love you. We worship you. We appreciate you. We trust you. We place our hope in your ongoing, all-loving care. Holy Spirit, give us an appetite for you and your word, and protect us from anything that would distract us from following. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you for being our bread of life, the word made flesh, our holy manitola, our King of Kings and our Lord of Lords. And everybody said, amen.
Well, thanks for listening in. Why don't you join us on a Sunday morning? If you'd like more information about the church, just point your browser to hisplacechurch.com. Until next time, may the Lord bless you, keep you, and make his face shine upon you.